This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures yesterday, Christmas Eve, finished higher across the board with the exception of soybean meal and oats. Corn for March was at 450 and a half at the close on Christmas Eve, up 3 1/4. May corn at 451, up 2 3/4. July corn at 449 and 3/4, up 2. Soybeans for January yesterday closed at 1263 and a half, up 4 3/4. March beans at 1264 and 3/4, up 4 3/4. May beans at 1262 and a half, up 3 3/4. Wheat in Chicago, March down 2. 627 and 3/4. May wheat up 0.25 cent, 6628. July wheat unchanged at 617. Oats for March were at 335, down 1 1/4. May oats down 0.75 cent, 333 1/4. July oats down 1/2, 330 3/4. Bean meal for January down 440 a ton, 41680. March bean meal sitting at 413.90 after the close yesterday, down 5.10. Finally, soybean oil for January closed at 41.79, 44 cents higher. March bean oil 48 cents higher, 41.09. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Thursday's cash grain report.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon of thoughts of positive export demand. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 cents, 417 to 449. Soy bids are 12 to 15 cents higher, 1209 to 1247. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 to 7 cents at 429 to 457. Soy bids were 12 to 14 cents higher, 1236 to 1265. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 4 to 6 cents at 437 to 480. Soy bids were 12 cents higher at 1246 to 1295. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 12 cents higher at 1259 to 1279. Basis is unchanged at option to 20 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 419.20 to 431.20 a ton, up $6.20 a ton, with basis steady at 200 to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 4 cents higher at 447 to 472, with basis steady at option to 25 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids up 5 to 7 cents at 458 to 463, with basis up 1 to 3 at 11 over to 16 over the March. Soybeans ended up 12 to 16 cents at 1267 to 1269, with basis steady to up 4 at 8 over to 10 over the March. East St. Louis barge loading terminal placer producer corn bids up 5 to 6 cents, 484 to 487. These elevators raised their soybean prices 10 to 13 cents. Quotations at 12.95 to 12.96. Soft wheat closed up 13 cents. It's up 6.59 to 6.60. Milo ended the day 3 cents higher at 5.17 to 5.22. And contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 4.19 to 4.49. Soybeans at 12.09 to 12.48. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 427 to 455, soybeans at 1243 to 1279. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 437 to 480, soybeans at 1246 to 1295. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Now moving on to your livestock futures report from yesterday, Thursday. Live cattle and feeder cattle were higher. Lean hogs were lower in the front months and higher in the May contract. First off, your live cattle for December finished at 112.15, up 22. February live cattle, 114.97, up 25. April live cattle, 118.97, up 27. Feeder cattle for January, 140.92, up 65. March feeders, 142.32, up 37. April feeders, 143.92 at the Christmas Eve close, up 17. Finally, lean hogs for February finished at 66.95, down 90. April lean hogs yesterday, 71.10, down 20. May lean hogs finished 2 cents higher at 76.02. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Thursday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 88 cents lower, in range of $44 to $52 with a weighted average carcass price of $50.44. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were steady with moderate to good demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $20 to $25, 4 to 5 weighted $24 to $28, 5 to 6 weighted $27 to $32, and over 600 pounds $30 to $34. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels of gilts country buying points were weak, with moderate demand for moderate offerings range from $28 to $34. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts totaled 25,261. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases trade at 105 to 110, and on a dress basis at 168 to 172. Choice heifers and live bases trade at 105 to 110, and on a dress basis at 168 to 172. From the National Daily Pork Plant, pork trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 281 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $69.34, which is $1.18 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcass were trading lower. Choice carcass $207.54, which is $3.13 lower, while select carcass $197.93, which is $1.66 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 116,000 compared to 120,000 last week and zero for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 451,000 compared to 483,000 last week and zero for 1 year ago. That includes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Christmas morning, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Pros Drainage, and by Farm Credit Illinois. 8 degrees at the Weather Center on this Christmas morning from WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by the CNB Bank and Trust with 17 locations to serve you, and by Stein Seed. And with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again, we join Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here in Ag News on this Christmas morning, agriculture and other sectors and individuals may now have to wait for longer virus relief after President Trump threatened to veto a massive stimulus and government funding package. Trump upended expectations promoted by his aides that he would sign the $900 billion relief bill, packaged with a $1.4 trillion budget bill and a tax extender and energy bill.
I am asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000 or $4,000 for a couple.
And he wants Congress to get rid of the wasteful spending,
or else the next administration will have to deliver a COVID relief package, and maybe that administration will be me, and we will get it done.
Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley told this to farm reporters.
I hope he doesn't veto it. If he does veto it, then I'm going to have to go back to Washington much earlier than I anticipated, because I wasn't hoping to go back until New Year's Day.
The votes are there to override the president, though he could run out the 10-day business day clock on this Congress, not vetoing or acting until the new Congress comes in January 3rd. But Grassley sees more damage to agriculture.
Obviously, we wouldn't have that $13 billion and the biofuels help. We do have the higher prices right now from the marketplace. So the fact that the $13 billion might not be there will obviously hurt the farmers that would have benefited from it.
Grassley also says he hopes to see Trump sign the bill, but he's already been notified to be ready to go back into session next week for a possible veto override vote. In other ag news on this Christmas morning, China's soybean imports this year are expected to reach a record high, according to Reuters. The nation is expected to import more than 100 million metric tons of beans this year, as the nation looks to rebuild its hog herd, boosting demand for the protein. An executive with China's state-owned grains trader, COFCO, told Reuters the country is expected to crush 92.6 million metric tons of soybeans this year. The record follows declines in demand stemming from African swine fever, which decimated China's hog population. Chinese officials claim the country's hog herd has recovered to more than 90% of normal levels, though that data has some analysts skeptical. Still, China expects the demand for protein, specifically soybeans, for animal feed to remain strong into the first quarter of next year. For 2020, demand for soybean oil is expected to increase by more than 6% as well, thanks to the increased use of the oil in biodiesel and animal feeds. Next year, crop insurance for the growing season includes a couple of new options for farmers to consider. The options are in addition to the normal crop insurance policies. The first was actually introduced in the 2020 season, SCO, or the Supplemental Coverage Option. The new one is ECO, or Enhanced Coverage Options. Here's how Illinois Extension Gary Schnittke says that ECO works.
ECO will offer farmers a coverage from either 90 to 95% down to 86%. Farmers can use that in conjunction with SCO to get coverage down to their coverage level of their selected product.
ECO can be used with either the PLC or ARC Federal Safety Net program. SCO is only available with PLC. ECO makes payments based on county yields. Most farmers take RP, or Revenue Protection Crop Insurance, and that's based off on-farm level yields. Here's how all three would work together. RP makes up the difference in revenue lost up to the insured amount, let's say 80% at the farm level. SCO, for PLC users only, then covers losses from 80 to 86%. ECO then covers losses from 86 to either 90 or 95%, depending on what the farmer wants to buy, according to Schnittke.
By the way, if I were buying it, I would buy ECO and maybe skip SCO. ECO is going to pay on a more of a band than SCO would.
The other thing is that ECO can be pretty expensive. For example, in Champaign County, it would cost $7 to $8 an acre for coverage to 90% and about $21 an acre to 95%. Those numbers are in addition to the regular crop insurance costs. Earlier this month, a Central Illinois farmer was elected chairman of the United Soybean Board, which funds research and promotion activities that bolster the soybean economy. Dan Farney of Morton was elected the chairman of the National Soybean Checkoff Board, where he served so far for 7 years.
I've served about 4 years on the executive committee, so just kind of a lot of hard work and being willing to serve people and work for my fellow soybean farmers have got me to this point. You meet a lot of people, you meet a lot of great farmers. It's just very cool for a farmer from Morton, Illinois to be able to do all this.
Farney says the United Soybean Board is farmers helping farmers.
The biggest thing is it's farmer-led, farmer-driven, farmer decisions, and farmer finance. So that is probably the biggest thing that I'd like to get across, is that this is farmers working for ourselves, trying to better ourselves, being collaborative in looking for new uses and promoting our product.
And Farney says selecting new uses and promotional ideas for the future are the greatest challenges for the checkoff.
Some of the biggest challenges would be, as always, we're looking for new research projects to be thinking ahead. Sometimes it's hard to be innovative, and that's what we want to try and be, is be looking ahead and looking for the next big thing or the next use that we can really increase usage of our soybeans. So if I had to say one, that would be, it's kind of a challenge to look into the future.
Again, that's Dan Farney of Morton, who is the new chairman of the United Soybean Board. In ag news, as it relates to precision agriculture, ag retailers are increasingly adopting digital solutions to improve their operational efficiency and enhance customers' overall service experience. GrowMark FS is expanding its partnership with Salinftech. Salinftech is a Brazilian company with 13 years of experience developing digital ag solutions for the largest ag operations in the world on more than 22 million acres of row crops, sugarcane, coffee, and citrus. By marrying logistics, analytics, and real-time weather data with algorithms, Salinftech significantly increases partners' machinery and input use efficiency, improving crop yield and reducing environmental impact. To explain more on the expanding partnership with Salinftech, we'll join Nokomis native Lance Rupert, GrowMark's Director of Agronomy Marketing Technology.
Salinftech's a Brazilian company that we were introduced to almost 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years ago this coming February. And what was a curiosity to me at that time was, you know, our FS member companies and retail organizations, you know, have a lot of equipment and a lot of people running those pieces of equipment. And Salimtech was a company that we thought could potentially help us become more efficient with those pieces of equipment so we could get over more acres in a day and, you know, service our customers at a higher level. So we worked with a handful of member companies to collect data initially so Salimtech could, you know, understand how they did their business, how they serviced their customers through operations, getting everything sprayed and fertilizer applied. And they're a pretty sophisticated tech company with artificial intelligence and, you know, ran the data and saw, you know, certain parameters that they thought we could, you know, improve upon to be more efficient. And then they built a, you know, a software solution to help us manage our fleets at a higher level. So, you know, just to get across more acres per day and to do a better job of executing on those acres as well.
Lance further breaks down the technology, explaining that GPS is the backbone of the system, but explains that artificial intelligence is what really does the job.
What the AI really comes into is, you know, today an FS company might have, you know, orders to, you know, let's say apply a herbicide to a dozen fields, you know, in a day. Today it's a manual process done by people, of course. You know, kind of the way they lay out the day and how they travel and things like that. What they've done to help, you know, the one area to be more efficient is they take all those fields into account and they let algorithms and artificial intelligence tell us first, you know, what would be the best path for the day to cover the least amount of miles and to cover the fields that are on the schedule the most efficiently. After the artificial intelligence, the computer kind of spits out potentially the quote-unquote right answer. You know, they also allow people to say, well, we need to tweak this or tweak that. So it's a little bit of a combination between AI and, you know, algorithms helping us make better decisions potentially without bias or things that just the human eye can't see. But then they also allow humans to interact with it. You know, because there's always cases where things need to be tweaked due to other circumstances.
Lance also explains that this will ultimately save time with the new technology, which then in turn saves man hours, maintenance costs, fuel costs, and anything else associated with an ag retail business.
Absolutely. A big one for our companies is growers are planting faster and faster and just being able to get across the acres that we need to timely get things done with the ability, again, for growers to plant a lot of acres in a short amount of time. And then with the weather situations we seem to have, you know, those windows for applications, especially in the spring, seem to get tighter and tighter. So the more acres we can get across efficiently every day that we have open to do that, you know, is a benefit to everybody.
And finally, Lance explains the ongoing and upcoming projects for the new year.
I'd say, you know, we're always trying to strive to bring better information and training to our crop specialists to help train them and so they can bring information and value and recommendations to our growers. You know, digital technology, bringing information closer to our customers right at their fingertips, right at their smartphone level is something we've been working on for a couple of years. And, you know, we're getting closer and closer to having that ability to really, you know, put information right in the palm of our customers' hands. So those are two big projects we're working on currently as we go into 21.
And again, that's Nokomis native Lance Rupert, GrowMark's Director of Agronomy Marketing Technology. Amid trade wars and the coronavirus pandemic this year, it's provided to be a challenging year for farmers. However, there were some bright spots this year. One of those bright spots includes government payments to farmers that surged to a record number under the Trump administration. According to Rodney Weinzierl, executive director of the Illinois Corn Growers Association, One prominent bright spot was the United States, Canada, and Mexico trade deal.
A lot of what we would view as big accomplishments are things that help us on the demand side. And to start is the passage of the U.S.-Mexico-Canadian agreement is really important. I cannot understate the importance that Mexico is to U.S. agriculture as an importer of corn, soybeans, pork, beef, a whole host of products. Mexico by far is our biggest market for corn and corn products. Canada is a big importer and customer of corn, ethanol, distiller dried grains, and solubles. So that passage of that agreement and creating kind of certainty with our two big trading partners was really, really important for the next decade and probably the next generation of farmers, especially around corn and beans and livestock.
Weinzierl said another stride for farmers in the past year was waterway improvements on the Mississippi and Illinois River. And finally, in ag news for your Christmas morning, your tips for keeping your Christmas tree fresh throughout the season, although today would be the last day many would probably even care to keep the tree looking good. Depending on when you put the tree up, however, it might still be in good shape or starting to dry out. U of I Extension educator Katie Parker says what your tree needs most is water.
So it's very important that you water your tree every day. At least check it if there is water still in the reservoir. There's not a need to water it again, but you do want to make sure that your tree has water every day. My sister literally just asked me about this past weekend. She said she read an article about feeding her Christmas tree Sprite, and I said, no, no way. You don't need to add any additives, no bleach, nothing else. Fresh water is the best way to water your tree.
Parker says if your tree is really drying out, you can recut the stump, although that's probably not practical now if it's full of lights and ornaments. She says it's also a good idea to keep your tree away from a heat source like an air vent and direct sunlight. Additives also, again, are not necessary. And that'll wrap up your Ag News on your Christmas morning. But remember, you can always send Ag News to us by email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Friday, Christmas morning, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI, wishing you a very Merry Christmas.